So, Craig, any other thoughts about BVAVD?
BVAVD is a chemoimmunotherapy program that requires growth factors. If you do that, you will likely have an excellent response. And in fact, nationally, the new studies that are being thought about nationally, which we can't really discuss here today, but with BVAVD, growth factors are required.
Could I actually, I'm kind of curious. You know, to me, this is almost a classic situation in oncology, which is like not all that straightforward when you have a new, really important data set. And I'm really kind of curious how the three of you have been processing what you heard today. I'll start with Justin. What had you heard about? What were you thinking about? And have you used or considered or would you consider the BVAVD approach before you got here? And now what are you thinking?
Yeah. I had a patient on active therapy with ABVD when the data came out with Echelon and when it got approved, actually. And he immediately asked me about it. And, you know, I think that certainly patients are in tune to what's going on in the literature. They're all on their own individual disease websites, discussion groups. When I looked at the literature, I mean, I think, you know, when I looked at the data, you know, I looked at that modified progression-free survival data, and specifically for that subgroup of patients, there were 22 that had that modified progression on the ABVD versus 9.
That's exactly right. Those are the exact numbers, right?
Yeah. On the brentuximab group.
And what was your take on the whole thing?
And my take on that was, well, then that represents a difference of 13 patients, really, who didn't have to go through salvage therapy, maybe even a transplant, when they got the brentuximab up front. And to me, that was valuable. Even though you could salvage those patients, maybe the survival wasn't different, to save them going through a transplant, I think, was a valuable thing. So that meant something to me.
So was your global take, I mean, were you thinking that the next patient that came in, you were going to bring it up or recommend it? What were you thinking?
Right. And then my thinking was I would recommend it based on that information that the potential for relapse was lower in patients that got this new drug instead of bleomycin.
So Netta, again, how were you thinking it through before today and any change?
So it's interesting hearing the nuances, especially from Craig and John's point of view. I think when I first heard the data, I was pretty excited. We've been looking for something for Hodgkin for a very long time. Everyone's comfortable with brentuximab. You can give growth factor. I was fairly excited about it. The more I look into the study, I realize I can't give this to everyone. And one of the concerns that I had actually was cost. The patient that almost received this treatment was a young guy, stage 4 disease, and I couldn't get it through his insurance company because it hadn't made it to NCCN yet, and we didn't have time. So we went ahead and gave him ABVD. I think I won't have those issues probably now, but cost is a major concern for these young patients because often they can't work during treatment. So.
That's a great point. Neeraj, again, what have you been thinking, and now what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I still have problem understanding this modified PFS, but overall my take is there is a slight improvement, but not the home run. But we are treating pulmonary toxicity with neuropathy and myelosuppression, but it does still give me an option. So somebody with baseline cardiopulmonary issues and elderly patient, I think it will be an option. Again, some improvement, but not the home run.
You know, the other thing is that, and I learned a lot about this, you know, on the lecture circuit and people asking questions from the audience. The quality of PET imaging is suspect through a certain parts of the country where a lot of places have a PET scanner that's like on a truck outside of their hospital. Well, that's not the same PET scan that we're used to. Quite frankly, if that's your PET scan, you shouldn't be doing PET adaptive therapy, quite frankly. I mean, that actually, that's, you have to read between the lines, but that's another reason to give BVAVD if you don't have good either quality imaging or quality reader. I mean, if you have great imaging and the reports you get back are terrible, then how can you manage your patient? So that, I learned a lot about that doing these lectures, and I was quite surprised. That was the most common question that we would get. I don't have good PET scanning. Can I still do this PET-adapted approach, which has level one evidence in the NCCN, which, by the way, is going to continue as level one evidence, okay, in the NCCN guidelines for 2000 that's coming out. And I learned a lot. I really did. I was very surprised.